Hello and welcome to episode number 18 of the AFTV Newscast, being recorded December 4th. I am Elias Saba, the guy who runs AFTVnews.com, and this is where I talk about all the week's Fire TV news. Got a whole bunch of great stories this week. We got three big changes to Alexa on the Fire TV, adding some new features that we'll talk about. We'll talk about how Black Friday went for Amazon and how many Fire TVs they sold. We'll also talk about the two different voice remotes that you can get with the Fire TV, and then talk a little bit about some app deals that have shown up this week. And then, of course, end things off by answering a whole bunch of listener and viewer submitted questions. All right, let's go ahead and get started. First up in news is that Alexa on the Amazon Fire TV can now control smart home devices. So we talked a little bit last week about how the If This Then That service can now work with custom phrases on the Fire TV to get the Fire TV's Alexa voice capabilities to basically turn on lights and light switches and that sort of a smart home technology type stuff. And now that feature has kind of been built in just directly into Alexa. So the Amazon Echo has kind of had this ability almost from the very beginning. Amazon has been sort of slowly adding more and more of that smart home controlling functionality into Alexa on the Echo, but it's been missing from the Fire TV. And so now that's changed. The Fire TV can now kind of fully integrate with these different devices. So if you have one of these devices, basically all you have to do is say into the Fire TV's voice remote, Alexa, find my devices, and it'll scan your network and try to pick up the different things that you might have connected there. So the devices that it can support are things like the Philips Hue lights, Belkin Wemo lights and switches and outlets, different hubs like the Wink hub and the Samsung SmartThings hub. So this is great that Alexa on the Fire TV has expanded in this way. I thought we weren't going to see this kind of smart home integration features until we saw like a big software update to the Fire TV, but I guess Amazon can add these features remotely and just kind of activate them so without a software update or anything. There are a whole bunch of different things that Alexa can interact with. Amazon has this page that highlights some of the products that they sell. A bunch of different names from Belkin, from Leviton, Philips, Samsung, GE. You know, you can look through. So these devices kind of fall into two different categories, essentially. Some of them are basically sort of self-contained smart devices. So you just need that one device. So once you, if it's a light bulb or if it's like a Wemo outlet, you just plug it in, connect it, and it basically has a little Wi-Fi adapter inside and it can connect to your network and it just works right out of the box. Other devices, though, need like a hub, a separate hub to communicate to, and then they can be found because it's the hub that actually communicates with Alexa and the Fire TV. Now, for the most part, the devices that connect to the hubs tend to be cheaper because you have to also buy the hub separately. So, for example, GE sells some smart bulbs in the $20 range, you know, pretty reasonable. This one here is $14.90 for a 60-watt LED light bulb, but for that to work, you have to have the Wink hub, and separately, you know, buying the Wink hub is going to cost a little bit. Whereas the Philips lights, they don't need the hubs, but those are going to run you up from $50 to $100 for the light bulbs. I know you can buy different sets. Here's a three light bulb set for $300. So it's up to you, you know, which one of these works best for you. But, you know, it's pretty awesome that with one of these connected, you can just sit there with your Fire TV remote and just speak into the remote and say, turn on the lights and turn off these lights. And you can even dim lights. You can set different groups of products. So if you have, say, a few lights and an outlet in your living room, you can kind of assign those to one name and just turn them all on and off at once. So it's pretty cool, pretty nice feature. It just kind of where things are going, it seems here, all these smart devices are kind of connecting together, and the Fire TV with Alexa is helping do that. Next up in news is another feature that Alexa has gained this week. And so now Alexa on the Fire TV can do local business lookup. This was a feature that, again, came to the Echo first about a month ago or so, I think it was. But now the Fire TV also has this feature built in. So you can ask Alexa to look up some type of business in your vicinity, essentially. From within the Fire TV's settings or within the Alexa app, you can set a zip code and even, I think, a street address. And Alexa will use that to kind of do this search. And I think Amazon has integrated with Yelp to get this information. And so you can essentially ask Alexa, find local Chinese restaurants near me. And then it'll just name off a few different Chinese restaurants. And then if you want to hear more about a specific one, you can ask it for, say, the address or the hours of that specific location. And it doesn't have to just be restaurants. It could be anything. I mean, if you want to know when the local supermarket closes or when they open, you could just ask Alexa. And so just more integration, more expanding of Alexa's capabilities. It really seems like Amazon is focusing a lot of their effort on getting Alexa more robust, more useful. And thankfully, it's not taking too long for all these new features to come over to the Fire TV after they first arrive on the Amazon Echo. So when you do local searches using this new feature, you can even get distance information. So if you ask for a specific restaurant, it'll tell you the address and it'll tell you how far it is from you. So a lot of really cool, nice features coming to Alexa. Moving on, we've got a pretty nice, handy new Alexa skill that was released this week that I thought was worth mentioning. So for those who don't know, Alexa skills are essentially like apps for Alexa. They're new functionality that third parties have created for Alexa, and you can enable and disable these skills, they call them, for Alexa, both on the Amazon Echo and the Fire TV. These are abilities that are not built in directly into Alexa, but have been added by people outside of Amazon, you know, third-party developers, basically anybody, just like an app, can submit a skill and have it approved and have it show up. So this new skill is simply called TV Show, and it will tell you when the next episode of a TV show will air, as well as the time and the network that it's going to be on. So on both the Amazon Echo and the Fire TV, you can simply say, Alexa, ask TV shows when does blank air, and blank is just any name of a show. So as long as it can recognize the TV show, it'll tell you the network that it's going to be on, the time that it's going to be on. And so it's really handy to just have that information basically on tap whenever you need it. If you're wondering if you missed a certain episode of something, or if a certain show is maybe taking like a mid-season break and you're wondering, you know, why isn't there a new episode available yet, you can just right there ask Alexa. For those who are watching the video version, this is kind of what it looks like to add skills. So you can either log in on the website portal, so alexa.amazon.com is the portal, or you can use the iOS or Android apps. And so in the app and on the portal, they're both kind of very similar interfaces. They have a whole skills section, and you can just skim through the different skills, and all you have to do is hit enable, and then after a few seconds, that skill will just be available both through the Amazon Echo's Alexa abilities and through the Fire TV's Alexa abilities. And a lot of these skills, you know, are pretty interesting, pretty handy. The number of skills have been growing pretty rapidly. I think I remember right around when the Fire TV first came out, or the second gen Fire TV first came out, there were about 15 or so skills, so very few. And now there are, I think, about 80 or so skills. But yeah, I've been looking at Amazon's developer blog has been pushing a lot of new abilities on Alexa skills. I saw recently you can now basically change the tone that Alexa reads a sentence off at, so that, you know, if you want it to sound a little bit like questioning or exciting, different things like that. So they're really giving developers a lot of functionality there to play with Alexa. And so I think we're just going to start seeing a lot of these pretty cool new skills coming out, and this TV show one is just one simple one that is definitely worth checking out and makes a lot of sense to have on something like the Fire TV, where you're watching a lot of these TV shows. Moving along now, next bit of news is that the newer Fire TVs are now shipping with what we thought was the Fire TV Stick's voice remote. So if you remember from about a month or so ago, when the Fire TV Stick with a voice remote bundle was released, we got confirmation that in fact the voice remote that comes with the new Fire TV is not the same as the voice remote that comes with the Fire TV Stick. Now, I thought the voice remote for the Fire TV Stick would stay there and all new Fire TVs would come with kind of the more premium, I guess you could say, remote, but that doesn't turn out to be the case, because now newer Fire TVs seem to be shipping with the slightly cheaper remote. Now, I say better and slightly cheaper. The two remotes are very similar. If you want to go back a few episodes, I'll put a link in the show notes of me talking about and showing off the two different remotes and what's different. But in summary, they're really exactly the same functionally. The only difference is the build materials used. So on the Fire TV's better remote, it's kind of a soft plastic with hard buttons, whereas what was initially just the Fire TV Stick voice remote, that is a harder plastic for the actual remote. It's not the soft rubbery feel, but the buttons themselves are actually completely rubbery and soft. So very small difference. It's kind of personal preference. I actually like the softer rubbery buttons on the Fire TV Stick's kind of cheaper voice remote, but I do like the rubbery soft plastic of the Fire TV's voice remote. Now, I don't know if all new Fire TVs from now on are going to get the slightly less expensive remote. And I say less expensive because I have a source on Amazon who actually told me that the voice remote that came with the Fire TV stick is actually a little bit cheaper to manufacture, and that's why they included that one with the Fire TV stick, because that device being a $50 device, they wanted to lower the cost of the remote a little bit, but with the Fire TV being a $100 device, they could kind of, you know, spend a little bit more on the remote. I'm thinking that possibly the reason they're shipping the Fire TVs with the less expensive remote is because of some fit issues with the battery cover on the newer remote. I'm thinking maybe they're redesigning that one a little bit, and so in the meantime, so that they don't have to stop production, they're shipping the cheaper remote. This is just a theory out there, because we do know a lot of people are having trouble with getting the battery cover off of the Fire TV's remotes, and it seems like this less expensive remote, because it's made of the harder plastic, doesn't have those issues as much. So this is just a thought. So maybe down the line we'll start seeing Fire TVs ship with the better, more expensive remote again. But really, in the end, they're so similar, it doesn't really matter too much. You know, you shouldn't be bummed if you get the less expensive remote. It's not going to really make a difference in any way. They're functionally the same. The inside, the electronics are all the same, so they're going to work exactly the same way. If you are curious to know which remote you do have, you can open up the battery cover, and on the back, right at the far right of the model number, you'll see there'll be a G on the newer remote, and that stands for Gelato, which is the code name for the better remote that originally shipped with the Fire TV, and the cheaper remote has a B on it for Bane. So I'll put a link in the show notes to this article I wrote, kind of breaking down the differences between the two remotes down to every little detail with a bunch of pictures. So you can check that out if you're curious to see what the two remotes are like. So next up, we've got a little info about the sales that occurred during Black Friday and Cyber Monday at Amazon. And so I thought it was worth talking about this just really briefly. So Amazon's usually pretty quiet about sales figures and how much they sell and, you know, all those details. But usually after a big sale like this, we'll get a little press release giving some info. And Amazon really went all out, it seems, with their devices this year. So compared to last year, we had very short Fire TV sales around this Cyber Monday, you know, Black Friday event. But this year was like the entire weekend almost, and then some. So some figures that Amazon has shared with us is that this year the Fire TV has sold 6 times more than they sold last year during this kind of same Black Friday Cyber Monday sales event. And that's not too surprising, because last year the Fire TV went on sale for maybe it was like 6 hours or so during Cyber Monday. They did not actually reduce it during Black Friday. But compare that to this year, they put all of their devices on sale at midnight Thanksgiving morning on Thursday, and they pretty much almost all stayed on sale the entire time up through Cyber Monday, you know, until basically midnight at the end of Cyber Monday. And so that's 5 full days that the Fire TV, for example, was on sale, compared to 6 hours or so where the Fire TV was on sale last year. Granted, last year's sale was about a 30% sale, if I recall. The Fire TV was being sold for $69, whereas this year it was being sold for $74.99, so about 25% off. So not as good of a sale as last year, but it went the entire, you know, 5 days. The Fire TV stick did not go through Cyber Monday. It actually ended just before Cyber Monday. That's probably because they basically sold out of them. I think right now if you ordered one, you're not going to get it until the 17th of December, if I recall. So Amazon said the number one product that they sold during Black Friday was their new 7-inch Fire tablet. And, you know, they were selling that at a pretty ridiculous price of $34.99. which, you know, for a full-fledged tablet is pretty crazy. So no surprise that that was their number one selling item. I think that is backordered now until about December 24th, if I recall. And they said that their second most sold item was the Fire TV stick. And that was, you know, selling for $24.99 for the non-voice version, $34.99 for the voice remote bundled version. So pretty great deals. No surprise that those two were the top items. Amazon did say that the Amazon Echo was their best selling product that was over $100. So that was actually a bit surprising, because, you know, the Amazon Echo normal price $180, it was only reduced down to $150. So not that big of a discount. You know, we've actually seen it go down to $130, and then they had even one deal where it was like $100 if you use their Amazon store card and combine that with like this $50 promo that they had going. So wasn't that great a deal, but I guess it was good enough to sell a whole bunch of them. All right, moving along to app deals that have come out this week for the Fire TV. For the last couple months now, Amazon has been having a deal of the month for the Fire TV. And so this month you can get this Star Wars pinball table for the game Zen Pinball for free. Now, Zen Pinball has always been free, but the games, the actual pinball tables inside of the app Zen Pinball, those are $1.99 a piece. And so you can get the Star Wars table for free this month. It might be a bit confusing how you get this free pinball table within the app, but once you load the app, you'll be presented with a bunch of different pinball tables. And if you go to the Star Wars section, you'll see here in the bottom left, there'll be one icon with an at on it. And if you click that table and then click buy table, you'll see a little in-app purchase pop-up come up that shows that the table is free. And so then you just install the table and you're good to go. So if you're interested in Star Wars or interested in pinball, this is a pretty good fun app and definitely worth checking out, worth getting for free. Next up in app deals is the game Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic. It's down from the regular price of $9.99 down to $2.99. This is pretty much the lowest this game has ever been. This game has never been free. And it's a really fun game. It's a console caliber game. It was originally released on the Xbox. And now it's been ported over to Android and ported specifically to the Fire TV, not just Android. And so really fun game. If you're interested, check it out. It's a full-fledged game. So, you know, dozens of hours of gameplay you'll find in this one. All right, last up in app deals this week is the game Bridge Constructor Playground has gone on sale. Usually it's $2.62, but now down with Amazon coins down to only 90 cents. Now, this game is one of the tablet games on TV that Amazon added. So they added about 200 or so tablet games that you can actually play on your Fire TV using the game controller to control a little icon on the screen. And so this is one of those games. If you're seeing the video version of this, you can see here where you use basically the shoulder pads on the game controller to control the speed of the cursor, and then you actually move the cursor with the left joystick and then use the A button to basically simulate a tap. So this game, Bridge Constructor Playground, is actually a tablet game, but with these special controls that have been added to the Fire TV's game controller, you can totally play this tablet game on your TV. So not all games work well with this whole tablet games on TV, but this is actually one of the few that works pretty well because it's games that where you don't have to do a lot of quick action. Those are the games that are best for this because, you know, sometimes it takes a little while to get the cursor just where you want it and to do the taps. But with this game, there's no rush. You take your time, you build your bridge. It's like a physics-based game, so really fun, really ideal for this type of interface, I think. All right, last up in news is something that isn't completely Fire TV related but might be of interest to Fire TV owners. The Wall Street Journal has reported this week that YouTube is actually in talks with different studios and different production companies to license movies and TV shows to add into their YouTube Red subscription service. And if they actually pull this off and they actually do this, then YouTube Red will kind of be competing with Netflix and Amazon Prime and Hulu as a viable possible option for, you know, cord cutters and people who are just streaming all their content. And so YouTube Red, as we've discussed previously, is $9.99 a month. And the main thing you get with it is that it removes all ads on YouTube and also gives you access to Google's music library. Essentially, they've got, you know, millions of songs there that you can stream for free if you're a YouTube Red subscriber. And so those two things alone tend not to be that appealing to Fire TV owners or just cord cutters in general. But if YouTube starts to add actual licensed movies and TV shows into the service, that could get pretty interesting. You know, for $9.99, if you're interested in the music stuff, you also get movies and TV shows with it. That's pretty awesome. So the Wall Street Journal sources are actually reporting that YouTube is mostly interested in licensing newer movies. Now, with Amazon and Netflix, you kind of mostly have a catalog of older movies just because, you know, when you're not paying for the movies individually, if you want them to just be all grouped into one subscription, you tend to get older catalogs, older movies. But YouTube might actually get some newer content here just to pull in people into YouTube Red. So something to look out for. I'll definitely keep an eye on it just to see. As far as YouTube Red working on the Fire TV, it does work, you know, to some extent. The YouTube app on the Fire TV is a web-based app, so it's not as full-featured as some of the tablet or smartphone YouTube apps. So one of the features you get with YouTube Red is the ability to play videos in the background and to download videos for offline viewing off of YouTube. But those two features are not supported on the Fire TV because the app is a HTML5 web-based app. But if you have a YouTube Red subscription and you log into the Fire TV YouTube app, then it totally recognizes that you have YouTube Red and it shows the YouTube Red logo and it doesn't play any ads. So to that extent, the Fire TV's YouTube app does work with YouTube Red, and most likely if they do add movies and TV shows to YouTube Red, you will probably be able to watch those through the Fire TV's YouTube app with no problems. All right, let's move on to answering some questions. As I do with every podcast episode, I end off with answering a whole bunch of listener and viewer submitted questions. Every Thursday, I put up a post on AFTVnews.com asking people to submit their questions for me to discuss and to answer on the podcast. Now, usually I take live questions also on Twitter, but due to some scheduling conflicts, I wasn't able to live stream this episode. So we're just going to do the submitted questions. First question here from Scott Howell. He says, it looks like a Windows workaround has come to light in the XDA forums in regards to rooting the Fire TV 2. I'm pretty technically savvy, but do you think it's best to hold off until you write a guide? Personally, will you try to root your own Fire TV second gen? Thanks. So if you're tech savvy and you're pretty comfortable with running Linux commands and that sort of stuff, I say go for it. You know, there's no real reason to wait for me to write a guide. I'm still planning to do my guide. I've been pretty busy this week. I didn't get a chance to do it. Hopefully next week I'll find some time. But, you know, there's nothing that's going to be too special about my guide other than, you know, maybe showing you some images and walking you through a little bit more of a step-by-step. You know, it's just to help people out. But, you know, if you're tech savvy, you can totally follow the guides that already exist on the XDA forums. Me personally, definitely, I'll be rooting the second gen Fire TV. I actually bought a new one during Black Friday specifically for this rooting, just in case one of my other ones doesn't go right. So I'll be rooting at least one of them, probably two of them, just because I like to have, you know, access to all different types of Fire TVs, just so that, you know, I can write the different guides and, you know, do all sorts of stuff and, you know, put out pretty good content for the site, hopefully. Next question here from iChappers. He says, I know the second gen Fire TV has not long been released, but what would you like to see hardware and software wise on the next generation Fire TV? He says, personally, I would like to see support for external storage without a file size limit and more internal storage space, user profiles, a motion remote control for pointer specific apps like a web browser, and then all the usual updates, processor, RAM, graphics, etc. I haven't really thought about it too much personally. As far as things that you've actually brought up, I actually don't think most of those will ever come to the Fire TV, honestly. So the external storage file size limit, that, you know, that has to do with being only accepting FAT32 as opposed to accepting NTFS drives. And the reason for Amazon to do that really has more to do with Android than their own personal decision. You know, Android does not have NTFS support right off the bat, so they would have to add that in themselves. And really, they have no reason to, because the whole point of an external drive is to put apps on it. And apps aren't really affected by the whole 4 gigabyte file limit that FAT32 has. And so the only real reason to support larger file sizes is to support media storage better on USB drives. And that's not really a feature that they even advertise on the Fire TV. I mean, it's there, it works, but it's not something they really care to push too much. So I don't think that's going to actually happen. User profiles, I think, definitely is a big thing. I would love to see that, you know, for people to have different watch lists and that sort of stuff. Hopefully that will actually come in a software update. As far as a motion remote, I mean, if the Apple TV sees some success in apps, motion-based apps being developed for that, then I think Amazon might add it to theirs just to kind of be on par with Apple TV, so that, you know, Apple doesn't have something over the Fire TV. As far as getting an app to use for motion, like a web browser, I don't think that's ever going to happen on the Fire TV. It's just browsing the web on a TV with just a remote is just not a good experience, and I don't think that's something Amazon is really interested in. As far as what I'd like to see in a third gen Fire TV, again, I haven't really thought about it too much. Maybe some changes to the remote. I'd love to see a headphone jack in the remote. I kind of fully expect that now that they've brought the headphone jack over to the new game controller, which was completely redesigned. The new Fire TV remote, it isn't completely redesigned, so I'm thinking maybe they're saving that for the next one, that we'll see a headphone jack in there, since they're already Wi-Fi based, and that's kind of, having a Wi-Fi direct remote is, you know, better for headphone than for Bluetooth remotes. I'd like to see maybe the Fire TV act more as like a home hub. I just talked about how it got more smart device interaction with it, but I'd love to see a little speaker added to it, and possibly an always listening microphone that's on the actual box, just so it can really emulate the features that the Amazon Echo has. You know, even before the second gen Fire TV came out, I wanted basically just build in an entire Echo into the Fire TV. You know, I know it's not going to be good for music. I'm thinking that you add a little speaker just to hear back responses from Alexa, because, you know, you don't always have the TV on, you don't always have the remote with you. But if you don't have an Amazon Echo, it'd be nice if the Fire TV kind of acted the same way. Just because that always listening feature, that's the killer feature on the Amazon Echo. It's a huge difference between the Amazon Echo and the Fire TV with Alexa, just because you always have it listening, it's always there, and the features are just accessible to you at all times. You know, it's very different than from the Fire TV. So I guess I'd like to see that come to the third gen Fire TV. So iChappers also asks, secondly, do you think Amazon will ever implement Prime Video downloads similar to what they have on phones and tablets? This would be great for me to eliminate the few times I suffer buffering from my unreliable network. Thanks. I look forward to seeing the podcast this week once you upload it. Take care and enjoy your weekend. I personally don't think Amazon will ever add offline downloading of videos to the Fire TV, just because it's not really a mobile device. You know, it makes sense on tablets and smartphones because you take those with you. You take those to places that you don't really have an internet connection. And the Fire TV, it's very clear that it is supposed to be a connected device. You know, it has the tiny storage, only 8 gigabytes, and of that, 5 gigabytes or so are usable. And that's because Amazon expects everything to live in the cloud. They don't expect you really to store anything on the device itself. I know with the Fire TV Stick, they kind of push how it's a great device to travel with, you know, to take to like a hotel or to take with you, you know, wherever you go. But, you know, you still need to be in a physical location to use it. You still need to have power. It's not a battery operated device. So it's pretty safe to assume that you have an internet connection to the device also. So I really don't think they're ever going to implement, you know, offline downloading of videos on the Fire TV. So next question here is from Patrick. He says, I kept the 2 terabyte external hard drive connected to my Gen 1 Fire TV and never had any issues when turning it on and off. On the Gen 2 Fire TV, I've noticed that turning on the hard drive forces a restart of the Fire TV. It's only a minor annoyance really, but I'm curious if this is an issue you know anything about. I'm confused as to why the recognition of the external storage would force a restart on the new model. That's really interesting. I haven't heard that happening to anybody. I have heard of people who, when connecting a hard drive to the second gen Fire TV and turning it on, the Fire TV won't really recognize it unless you actually restart the device. So if you have a hard drive already connected to it when it powers on, I haven't heard anybody having any issues there, but just a few people I've heard having some recognition issues where if you try to, you know, hot plug and play a hard drive in while the Fire TV is on, it doesn't fully recognize it. But I've never heard of it actually restarting itself. I would definitely contact Amazon about this one. Maybe have them swap out your box just to see if a different box won't do this for you. But yeah, definitely I haven't heard anybody having this issue before. Next question here is from Steve Klein. He says, what is the best way to keep the Amazon Fire TV box running lean and mean? Anything that we need to be doing on a regular basis to keep the device efficient and problem-free? Also, did you have any luck navigating through the Chrome browser with the Logitech keyboard, referring to my question of last week? For that second part, no, I haven't done that yet. I don't really use a browser on my own Fire TV, so it's just, it wasn't on my mind. I'll try to remember to look through it just to see for next week's podcast as a follow-up, just to see if the Chrome browser is working for me with the Logitech keyboard or not. But as far as your first question about running the Fire TV lean and mean, there's not too much that can go wrong with it. You know, a lot of apps might leave residual files there. They don't always clean up when you uninstall an app or you clear an app settings or cache. So in that sense, you could do cleanup that way. But, you know, that's not really going to affect the Fire TV's performance. It's just going to affect the storage available to you. If you sideload an app called Disk Usage, I always kind of recommend this app. It's a very simple app, but it gives you a visual representation of the storage on the device. And so you can kind of see which apps are using up a lot of space, and maybe an app that you uninstalled has left some files around. Usually in the /SD card directory, there are files there. But there's not too much that you have to do. So of course, if you want, every once in a while, you could do a factory reset and just kind of start from fresh there. That'll delete all of your user data and give you a nice clean system. But I don't think it's necessary. You know, there's not too much that an app can do to really, you know, bog down the system. Steve Klein has another question. He says, is it my imagination or did Cyber Monday this year seem a lot less exciting than in past years? Ditto for Black Friday. what happened to Amazon's Lightning deals for Prime members? I definitely think Cyber Monday may have been a bit lackluster than last year. It seemed like last year, Amazon focused more on Cyber Monday deals than they did Black Friday deals. But it was kind of the opposite this year from what I noticed, at least as far as Amazon devices go, because everything pretty much went on sale Thursday, you know, the Thursday before Black Friday. And basically just stayed on sale the entire weekend. And so there was almost no transition between Black Friday and Cyber Monday. It kind of all just blended into one big sale for Amazon. So yeah, Cyber Monday was a bit lackluster if you were kind of expecting something there. But as far as Black Friday deals, I thought they were pretty decent. You know, they definitely had much, much better deals as far as Amazon devices go. But other stuff that Amazon sells, I don't know. I mean, there's so many different deals, so many different things to sell. I don't know if they were better or worse. You know, I'm sure each person's going to kind of see it differently. As far as Lightning deals for Prime members, I mean, they did have those. Almost most of their Lightning deals that were going on started a half hour early for Prime members, so there was that. I don't know if that's what you're referring to, but you know, I thought they were pretty decent. You know, I bought a whole bunch of stuff, probably spent more money than I should have, but yeah. Next question here is from Irshad. He says, "Hi Elias, awesome blog. I currently have the first gen Fire TV stick. I mainly use it for Netflix, BBC iPlayer, YouTube, and Kodi. Should I upgrade to the Fire TV 4K version? Is it worth it? Will it be a lot faster? Also, I don't have Prime and I'm not looking to invest in getting it. It is also on offer at £65, as you mentioned in your blog." So for your specific case, actually, there's not that much that the Fire TV 4K has to offer. I mean, it will be a nice upgrade, but if you're just streaming basically 1080p content, the Fire TV stick does a fantastic job at it, you know, for the price. The 4K Fire TV, you know, the best thing it has going for it, obviously, is 4K. It's a much better gaming device than the Fire TV stick. But if you're just streaming basic content, you're not really going to see that big of a difference. So, you know, I say stick with the Fire TV stick as long as you can. If it's doing what you need it to do, you know, there's no reason to upgrade. You know, hold out. Irshad's second question is, will Fire TV OS 5 improve the first gen Fire stick? I'm just worried that it might make it slower, clunky. Any inside news on that aspect of Fire TV OS 5? Just curious, thanks. First off, there's no first and second gen Fire TV stick. There's only one Fire TV stick. There's a new Fire TV stick bundle that comes with a voice remote, but it's actually the same Fire TV stick that they've been selling for a year now. So just to make that clear. Now, as far as Fire OS 5 on the Fire TV stick making it slower, clunky, I don't think that's a worry or that's the case. I have the new Fire TV stick with voice remote and it comes with Fire OS 5 built in. And I actually, for the last week or so, I've been running that as my main, you know, streaming device on my main TV just to see if Fire OS 5 on the older devices has caused any issues or if there's going to be any problems there. And I haven't noticed any, you know, anything bad about it. So totally awesome. You know, I think, you know, it's not going to make any big improvements. So the main purpose of Fire OS 5 is to bring Android up to date on Fire TV devices. So Fire OS 3, which is running on the first gen Fire TV and the Fire TV stick, the older ones, it's based on Android 4.2.2, which is, you know, fairly old now. And so Fire OS 5 is based on Android 5.1, which is, you know, almost the latest version. That was the main purpose of Fire OS 5. The main purpose was not to improve things or bring features. It's to bring the Android version up to date. And that's so that the device stays relevant to developers. You know, developers who are creating newer Android app, their features might not work on the older devices. Plex is a good example. Plex has been waiting for Android 5 to come to the Fire TV so that they can update their app. And so they did that. As soon as the second gen Fire TV came out, they released a new updated app. And so that's why it's important for Amazon to update the OS on these apps so that the devices remain easy for developers to create apps for. Now that said, Fire OS 5 is going to bring one big feature to the Fire TV stick and the older first gen Fire TV, and that's Alexa, which is really nice. I mean, you don't have a voice remote, but you could still use the Fire TV app on your smartphone, either iOS or Android, and you can access Alexa that way. So it's kind of a handy little feature to have. But that's kind of the big feature to bring. Really, you want Fire OS 5 just so that it stays compatible with future apps that come out for the Fire TV, but you're not really going to see too many new features when it comes. Next question here from Lewis. He says, according to your feeling, would Amazon stock be a good investment as a 5 to 10 year investment? My feeling is they can and will grow much further. Echo, AFTV, Prime Now, global expansion, tablets, etc. What else is coming? Have still huge potential to grow, I think. What do you think? I'm definitely not the person to take, you know, stock advice from. I wouldn't even know where to begin. One thing I'll say is that it seems Amazon is more into growing than to making profits. You know, it seems like they spend any money that they make back into the company to grow the company and to expand. And so that doesn't seem like something, you know, the stock market really likes. The stock market, you know, seems to probably like big profits, you know, companies that show big profits. And so Amazon does not seem like that type of company to me. So, you know, again, I don't really know much about stocks. I don't really buy stocks. So I'm not the one to ask. But if I had to make a decision, I would probably not buy Amazon stock just on the fact that they don't really focus on profits, it seems, as much as trying to grow. Next question from Lewis. He says, I see still the AFTV 2 gets quite some negative comments on Amazon these days. I'm surprised by that. Why do you think that is? People expect too much, don't know how to use it, or are there still too many bugs? Thanks and take care. I mean, it's tough to say. The second gen Fire TV, even to this day, you know, after all these software updates that have improved the product, I think it's still a more unstable product than the first gen Fire TV. And so, you know, it just takes one bad experience or one bugginess to the OS for somebody to put up a negative review. And I think that's all it is. It's just not as stable as the first gen, and that's why it's getting, you know, poor reviews. Next question here is from Stank. He says, what up, E? When streaming local media to Fire TV devices via Kodi, is it best in terms of quality and speed to just use UPnP sharing from my PC running Kodi? Some others have said NFS or SMB are best. I like using the path of least resistance. Just wanted your opinion. Now, as far as the playback of the actual files that you're playing, you're not really going to see a difference from whether you're using UPnP or actually using a file sharing protocol. Where you'll probably see the biggest difference is in the user experience, the user interface. So usually when you use Kodi's UPnP settings, the images are also streamed over the network to the Fire TV, whereas if you're actually just accessing the files over a file sharing protocol, the Fire TV will actually store the images and the database on the device itself, so they'll come up a little quicker that way. So I would definitely say that using either NFS or SMB file sharing over the network is a better experience on the Fire TV, and just a better experience with any Kodi overall. But, you know, if you have a very fast network, then UPnP, you know, might be a good option. Next question from Dave69. He says, hey, Elias, would you know if RBox is planning on releasing any more firmware updates for the rooted first-gen Fire TV? Yeah, I've only talked to him a little bit about this, but he definitely plans, once the first-gen Fire TV gets FireOS 5, he definitely seems to be pretty confident that he'll be able to get the new FireOS 5 software update released in a pre-release, you know, pre-rooted version for the first-gen Fire TV. He did say you're going to need to install a different recovery, that the existing Clockwork mod is not going to probably work with FireOS 5, but he seems confident that he's going to be able to get TWRP, which is an alternate recovery for the Fire TV. He feels confident that he's going to get that to work. So I think there's no worries there. I don't think he's going to abandon the first-gen Fire TV. I think once FireOS 5 comes in its final form to the first gen Fire TV, I think we'll see a pre-rooted version come out, released by RBox. Next question here is from Lisa Lin. She says, does Plex work on the new Amazon Fire TV? I have a Western Digital 4TB MyCloud personal network attached storage that I've put some of my content on and would love to watch it on the Fire TV. I set up a Plex account. Now when I start Plex on the Fire TV, I get the Plex logo and it just stays in the center of the screen and does nothing. Yeah, Plex does work on the new Fire TV. If you're having these issues, I would suggest first off to do a factory reset. You shouldn't just be stuck on the Plex logo. The app is supported. It does work. If you keep having issues, I would probably recommend giving Kodi a shot. If you go to aftvnews.com/sideload, that'll show you how to sideload Kodi. If you have your files running off of a NAS, you really don't need the overhead that Plex adds to it. you know, you just need to be able to access those files over the network. And so if they're already on a NAS, then I'd say Kodi is probably your better bet, and you'll probably get a much better experience out of it. But yeah, overall, Plex should be working. I don't know why it's not. I would definitely try to do a factory reset of the Fire TV, you know, start from there. If that doesn't work, you know, definitely contact Plex's support, see if they can help you out. All right, that'll conclude the 18th episode of the AFTV Newscast. Thank you so much for listening. If you're listening to the audio version, it's available through RSS feeds, through iTunes. Actually also just added it to TuneIn, so you can get it there. Of course, the video version is also available on YouTube. If you're watching it there, I'd love if you hit that like button. Please subscribe to my channel. And just overall, thanks for listening and tuning in.